We present John le Carré's A Murder of Quality, adapted for radio in five parts by René Basilico, starring George Cole as Smiley, with Norman Bowler as Inspector Rigby. A Murder of Quality, Episode 2.
Whiskey?
Here, please.
And cocoa for you, Inspector.
Lovely.
If you wouldn't mind signing for that, Mr. Smiley.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, that's better. So, well, I hope I haven't dragged you out in the middle of the night on a wild goose chase, Inspector. It was the coat, you see.
You're sure it was navy blue in that light?
No, I only think it was navy blue. But what I am sure of is that it was a coat that should have had a belt. And it was missing.
Well, there'll be no mystery as to who it was. Everyone knows Mad Janey.
Well, that's as good a description as any.
Lives up in the deserted church by Poyle. That's about 3 miles away.
Ah.
What are you doing, Mr. Darcy?
I sent him home. There seemed no point in keeping him up half the night.
No, I'll send someone up in the morning to get a statement from him if needs be. Ah, went down well, that did. Mm. Now, I better be off to Poyle. Bring Janey in for questioning. Was there something else, Mr. Smiley?
No. I just wondered if I might...
You'd like to come along?
Well, I must admit to a morbid fascination with murder. If you're sure, I wouldn't be in the way.
Far from it.
I mean, I wouldn't want to impose. I mean, I didn't even know Mrs. Rhodes.
You're not imposing, believe me, sir. I'd be glad of the company, if nothing else.
I'm surprised you even contemplated going alone. I'm bound to say any meeting with Mad Janey can be a distinctly unnerving experience.
You don't need to worry about her, Mr. Smiley. We know how to handle Mad Janey. You know, Mr. Smiley, some of those out-of-the-way villages, they can be a bit strange. People in there are so inbred, you can no more sort them out than a barn full of cats. That's how you come by the village idiots.
Mm. The Devil's Mark, they used to call it.
That's as may be. They call it incest now. The rest of the village won't have them around at any price. Drive them out, usually. Hope they'll die, I suppose.
Is that why this Janey creature lives in the church?
No, she's the religious sort. Some of them go that way. Janey spends her whole time cleaning out the church, decorating it with wild flowers and such like. Gets called a witch for her pains.
Well, she doesn't go out of her way to discourage the idea, does she?
Reckon not. Anyway, here we are. Church is just up the end of this path.
You said Janey lives in the church. It's unusual, isn't it?
No, it's more or less derelict, you see.
Ah.
The village is old chapel now. Has been since the time of John Wesley. Yep, there's Ted Mundy.
Oh, who might Ted Mundy be?
One of our sergeants. Ah. Lives in Poyle. I told him to meet us here. Hello, Ted, you old buzzard.
What's your inspector?
How are you?
Well, no better for being up at this time of night.
Ted, this here's Mr. Smiley's down from London.
How do, sir?
Mr. Mundy.
You from Scotland Yard, then, sir?
No.
It's all right, Ted. Mr. Smiley's with me.
Well, afraid you'll have to be on foot from here, sir.
Right. Oh, a bit of a nip in the air, isn't there?
Ah, you're a bit more exposed out here.
Inspector, there's a light in the church, but I don't know if it's Janey.
Let's go and find out, then, shall we? You all right, Mr. Smiley?
Thank you, Inspector.
You lead the way, Ted Mundy.
Inspector, I was talking to Mrs. Parker an hour or so ago.
Yes?
She lives in the cottage outside the cemetery, Mr. Smiley.
Oh, yes.
Well, it doesn't get out much these days. It's her legs, you know. She's...
Get to the point, Ted.
Well, she told me something I didn't know.
What's that?
That Mrs. Rhodes used to come up here quite often.
What? To the church?
To see Janey. Well, poor creature's half-starved most of the time. Mrs. Rhodes used to bring her food and old bits of clothing, apparently.
Anything the matter, Mr. Smiley?
No, nothing. Right, shall we press on?
Yeah, better go a bit careful from here. Don't want to scare anybody off, do we? There's still a light on in there.
What now, then?
Let's make sure she's in there first.
Oh, some of the leaded lights are broken on the bottom of that window.
That'll do.
Can you see anything, Inspector?
Yes. It's not bad.
Janey in there?
Yes. She's wearing that coat, Mr. Smiley.
Where's the light coming from?
A couple of oil lamps. Up near the altar. Have a look, sir.
Oh, yes. What's that piled up on the pews? Looks like dead animals of some sort.
Well, that's exactly what they are, sir.
She's a witch.
Now, don't you start that, Tim Bundy.
Well, she is.
Shush, shush, shush.
My darling.
She's draping something over the cross. I can't quite make out...
Excuse me, sir.
Can you see what it is?
Yes, sir. It's a string of green beads. Right. I think I've seen enough.
You want me to go in after her?
No, Ted. We'll go in through the main door. You go around the side. She might make a run for it.
Right.
Right, Mr. Smiley. Fit, are we?
Not really. Well, come on, then.
Easy now.
Who be that?
It's only me, Janie. Bill Rigby.
You bite away from little Janie, mister. I got Holly for the old, you see.
He isn't the devil, Janie. He's got no wings.
She ought to have had Holly, mister. And that's the truth. I told my darling she was a naughty girl to go with the devil. But she paid no call. No call at all.
Did you really see the devil, Janie?
There's not many as have seen him. But Janie has. I can't abide them as goes with a devil in the night. I told her. I told my darling. She should have Ollie for to hold him.
I've never seen the devil, Janie.
Silver wings he had. Like a fish riding on the wind. The moon behind him, lighting up the way. Them closest sisters, moon and devil.
Yes. Yes, of course.
But Janie drove him off. Told him right away.
That was very clever, Janie. Very clever.
There's one that'll thank me, and that's my darling. I took her jewels for the saints. And the coat for to keep my warm.
Ted, you there, Ted?
Yeah.
You can come in. It's all right. Now, Janie, why don't you come along with us?
That's right. We'll get a nice mug of hot cocoa for you. Oh, come on, old love. Ah, that's right. You cuddle up the Ted. Come on, then.
Whew. You all right?
I am now.
What was all that about between you and Janie? Someone with silver wings riding on the wind? Damned if I understood a word of it.
Well... Unless I'm very much mistaken, I believe our little Janie may have been an eyewitness to the murder of Stella Road.
What?
Now, please, Inspector, I could do with a mug of cocoa myself, with about a pint of rum in it.
Is the egg boiled to your liking, sir?
Yes. Yes, absolutely perfect.
Only there's a message for you, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir. On the telephone.
Who from?
Mr. Rigby, sir. Well, Inspector Rigby, actually.
Ah, yes.
He said, would you go round to the police station, please, sir?
Thank you.
As soon as possible, sir.
Come in.
Good morning, Inspector.
Ah, Mr. Smiley, sir. Come in.
Thank you.
Good of you to come so promptly.
Not at all. I was at breakfast, but I assumed it must be quite important.
Important? Oh, yes, I suppose it is. Politics is always important, isn't it?
What do you mean?
Sit down, sir, please.
Thank you.
Can I get you some coffee?
No, thank you.
Or tea? Hot chocolate's quite nice.
No, really. I did finish breakfast.
Oh.
Well, then, what's all this about?
Best start at the beginning, I suppose.
Yes.
Well, now, our chief constable, Brigadier Avlock, he's been on to me early this morning.
Ah.
He was at school at Cairn.
Well, I didn't know that.
Oh, yes. He's an old Cairnian. He thinks this whole affair is unsavory. Yes, that's the word he used. He wants the case wrapped up as fast as possible.
And all the newspaper men packed off home.
Right first time.
Oh, he's got a point, I suppose.
Yes, he wants me to charge Mad Janie.
With what?
Well, murder.
What will you do?
Hold her for further questioning.
You've got enough against her to justify it.
She made a statement last night. Well, a sort of statement. It's pretty good nonsense as it stands.
I should think it's utter gibberish.
Yes, but I suppose you could interpret it as a confession. Especially taking the circumstantial evidence into account.
An old coat and a string of cheap green beads.
And a piece of coaxial cable.
Ah.
2-inch diameter, about 2 feet in length.
The murder weapon?
Could be. There's hair on it.
and what might be blood. We sent it off for analysis.
Where was it found?
In a ditch about 3 miles away, on the Oakford Road.
Well, that means nothing to me, Inspector. Where's the Oakford Road?
It runs through Poyle. It's the way Janie would take to get back to the old church from Mr. Rhodes' house.
I see.
Well, you did say you thought Janie was a witness to the murder.
I believe she was.
And if she was there at the time, well, it could be her.
No, it doesn't hold water. I'm really not sure Janie would have the strength to drag Mrs. Rhodes' body 40 or 50 feet through the house to the conservatory. And I certainly don't believe she would ever have the wit to wear gloves to avoid leaving fingerprints.
Thank you, sir.
Whatever for?
You've just confirmed my own assessment of the facts.
How very devious of you, Inspector.
I'm sorry, sir.
No, not at all. We do agree, don't we, that Janie was there at the Rhodes' house on the night of the murder?
No doubt about that, sir. On the prowl, I shouldn't wonder.
Yes.
She probably robbed the body.
Well, she more or less admitted that.
Those beads match the description Mr. Rhodes gave us on the night of the murder. But we'll check them out again.
And the coat?
Ah, we've placed that.
Well, already?
Just before you came this morning. There was a name tag inside the collar. Jardine. Lives over to the east side of Cairn. Mrs. Jardine gave the coat to Stella Rhodes on Wednesday morning.
Why would she do that?
Oh, for the refugees. Mrs. Rhodes used to collect for them.
Ah, she collected for charity, did she? I wonder which one.
That's easy. Hello? Redley here. Is Ted Mundy still about? Ask him to step into my office for a moment, will you? Thanks. Ted'll know if anyone does. His wife gave them his best trousers last month.
So Stella Rhodes collected the coat on Wednesday morning, the morning of the murder?
Yes.
I wonder what else she collected that day.
Does it matter?
Well, if she did collect anything more than that one overcoat, what happened to it?
That's what you might call a very pertinent question.
You wanted me? Ah, Mr. Smiley.
Sergeant.
Come in, Ted. That charity your wife gives old clothes to, which one is it, do you know?
Refugees, I think. Yeah, refugees.
But who organizes it?
Well, it used to be the chapel, but it all goes through the school now.
You mean Cairn's?
Where else? Mrs. Rhodes is one of the collectors.
Yes, so I believe.
But who runs it, the whole operation?
Oh, one of the master's wives up there.
Which one?
What do you mean?
Which master's wife runs it?
Oh, I don't rightly recall her name. But she's the one with all them little dogs.
Felix Darcy's sister breeds dogs.
Darcy, that's it. She's the one that runs it.
And it's her brother you were with last night, when you met Mad Janie.
Yes. Small world, isn't it? Good Lord.
Hello? Who is it?
Smiley. George Smiley.
Oh, shut up, will you? You'd better come round the side.
Right.
Careful!
Ah.
Don't let that little rogue out or I'll never get him back.
Go on, boy. Go on, go. Get back. Back. Good boy. Go on, back.
Gotcha. All right, now. You can come in.
Thank you.
Now, who did you say you are?
George Smiley. I met your brother yesterday at Terence Fielding's.
Oh, yes. How do you do?
How do you do?
Come on into the house. You can't hear yourself think out here.
Thank you.
Sorry about the mess. Let's go through to the drawing room.
Thank you.
Caught me at a bad time, I'm afraid.
I'm sorry.
No more fraught than usual, I suppose.
Is Stanley Rhodes still staying with you?
No, he went home this morning. I rather think he felt he was getting under our feet. I certainly don't envy the poor man.
What, going back to an empty house?
Mm.
No, I don't think I do.
Do sit down.
Well, thank you.
Felix told me you had an extraordinary adventure last night with that beggar woman or witch or whatever she is.
Yes, it was rather frightening.
Yes. Felix seemed to think that she might have returned to the scene of the crime.
I'm sorry?
Well, criminals are supposed to do that, aren't they?
You're surely not suggesting that that woman killed Mrs. Rhodes?
Felix thought she might have done. Personally, I've my own pet theory.
Oh? And what's that?
Well, it's my opinion that Stella Rhodes' death was caused by something or somebody from her past.
Well, that's always possible, of course, but what brought you to that conclusion?
Well, it seems she was almost expecting to be attacked.
Who told
her? She hinted as much to Gerald Harriman, the vet.
Oh, she can't have been serious, surely.
Oh, yes, she was. Deadly serious. You see, Stella Rhode had her dog put down no more than 2 or 3 weeks ago. It was only a mongrel, of course, but a bright-eyed, perky little fella.
Well, she must have had good reason.
Well, she said it had bitten the postman.
And hadn't it?
Well, if it had, the postman certainly knew nothing about it.
Oh.
And what's more, Harriman swears that dog had taken a beating. Beaten half to death, he said. Marks all over its back and neck, poor thing.
Mm.
And when Harriman suggested putting the dog in kennels for a while to, well, sort of give it a second chance, she wouldn't have it.
How very odd. I'd have thought she would have jumped at the opportunity.
So would I. But she seemed to think that the dog was too small. She said it was all very well giving a nip to the postman, but it couldn't protect her. Well, not really protect her.
It seems almost prophetic in the circumstances, doesn't it?
Yes. Would you like a cup of tea, by the way?
No, thank you.
Coffee?
No, really. I only called in to let your brother know that I'd been to the police about last night.
Oh.
And I've a strong suspicion that they'll shortly be descending on him.
In force, no doubt.
I'm most awfully sorry.
Not at all. I'm sure he'd be most grateful to you, after all. Forewarned is forearmed, eh?
Exactly. Well, I should think you'll all be quite pleased to see an end to this whole business.
Oh, indeed we will.
I can imagine the disruption this sort of thing must cause in a small community.
Well, that, too. People like Stella Rhode don't grow on trees, unfortunately. Wonderful little worker.
Well, I didn't realize she went out to work.
Oh, yes. Well, only for the charity, of course.
Oh, like Oxfam, you mean?
Well, it's actually the public school CRR.
CR what?
Committee for Refugee Relief.
Oh yes. They've got an office in Kensington somewhere, haven't they?
No. Bermondsey.
Ah, Bermondsey.
At least, well, that's where we send the second-hand clothes. A box number in Bermondsey. Though God knows they'll be lucky to get more than a parcel a month now that Stella's gone.
Yes, but she couldn't have made so much difference, surely.
Oh, you'd be surprised. Stella Rhode put together a parcel a week off her own bat. Every week, without fail.
Except last week, of course.
No! Even last week. She collected on Wednesdays, you see. Door to door.
But last Wednesday was the day
yes,
she...
Yes, I'm well aware of that. But she'd already finished collecting by then. And parceled everything up, what's more. Good-sized parcel it was, too. Weighed 27 pounds.
How on earth do you know that?
I'm the school's representative. The organizer, if you like. Part of my job is to go round and collect the parcels. Every Friday morning.
And you went round this Friday?
Well, yes, actually.
So soon after the murder.
But Stanley Rhode insisted. He was staying here, you see.
Oh, yes.
He insisted I take the key.
Hmm. I'm surprised the police didn't object.
The police? Oh, good heavens. The thought never crossed my mind. Oh, I can't believe that it would really matter.
She said what?
She couldn't believe it would really matter.
My God! She walks into that house where a woman's been murdered, she goes in without a boy you leave, removes important evidence, and she didn't think it would really matter?
Yeah, but Miss Darcy wasn't to know that parcel was evidence, let alone important.
What do you mean?
Well, I don't wish to condone her actions, far from it. But she might well be excused for thinking that if it had been important, you would have already taken it away.
That's not the point! She didn't tell us what she was doing.
No, that's true.
What did I tell you? I think they're a law unto themselves up at that damn school.
Yes, you did tell me that.
Fear gets up my nostrils. A night or two in the cells are doing no harm. Remind them there's another world outside their walls.
Yes. Oh, Inspector.
Yes?
This statement of Mad Janie's.
Eh? Oh, yes, sir. I'm sorry.
The bit about the jewels.
Ah, yes. Now, there's one that would thank me, and that's my darling. I took her jewels to the saints in a coat for her to keep me warm. Well, we've accounted for the jewels, I think.
Oh?
Yes, Mr. Rhode confirmed his wife was wearing the green beads at dinner.
So Janie must have taken them from the body.
And the coat for her to keep her warm.
You think Janie took that at the same time?
Almost certainly.
Hmm. That seems a not unreasonable assumption. The thing that's puzzling me, though, is that refugee parcel.
The one Miss Darcy collected?
Yes. It was all packed, ready for posting.
Mrs. Rhode would have done that before she was murdered, presumably.
Yes, but if she packed everything else, why not the overcoat?
Perhaps she'd already put it aside.
For Janie?
Why not?
It was much too big for her. No one could possibly have meant it for her.
All right, so Janie stole it before Mrs. Rhodes had time to pack it.
Well, how would she get into the house? No, no, Rigby, I think Janie must have stolen the coat at the same time as she stole the beads.
After Stella Rhodes was dead, you mean?
Yes. Which suggests, to me, that if Stella Rhodes didn't pack the coat, she didn't pack the parcel. Brim, this is George. George Smiley.
George? Where are you?
Still in Caen, at the Sawley Arms.
How's it going?
Slowly.
I read in the paper that they've arrested some gypsy woman or other.
Yes, it doesn't make much sense, I'm afraid.
Oh. But what about Mr. Rhodes? Do the police not suspect him?
I don't know.
I mean, Stella Rhodes' letter was fairly explicit, wasn't it?
Yeah, I know it was, Brim. But nothing makes much sense at the moment.
Oh, dear.
Brim, look, can you do me a favour? I want you to pay a little visit to the Public Schools Committee for Refugee Relief.
Wait a minute, George. Just let me find a pencil. The Public Schools Committee...
For Refugee Relief. Ask for Miss Dawnay.
D-A-W-N?
A-Y. But I'm afraid the only address I can find is P.O. Box 65, London, SE1, 3XD.
Box 65, SE1, 3XD.
Yeah, I believe it's in Bermondsey somewhere.
But don't worry, George, I'll find it.
Now, listen, Brim. I'm interested in a parcel that was posted from Caen on Friday last. But it was packed on the day Stella Rhodes was murdered.
Ah. And what exactly am I looking for, George?
I don't know, Brim. I'm afraid I just don't know.
Come on, do.
Who are you looking for, dear?
The Public Schools Committee for Refugee Relief.
Who?
The Public Schools... Oh, this is number 17, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
Only there's no number on the door.
Can I help you?
Oh, yes, please. Miss Dawnay, is it?
That's right.
I'm terribly sorry to call on you like this without an appointment, but I was hoping to recover a parcel that was sent up from Caen on Friday morning.
Oh, really? Why?
Well, something was put in it that shouldn't have been. A ruby brooch, actually.
Oh, I'd better come in, then.
I'm awfully sorry to be such a nuisance.
Yes, not at all. Follow me, would you?
Thank you.
Frankly, I'm amazed you managed to find us.
Well, I had a little help, I must admit. From some absolutely angelic little ragamuffin.
Yes. You're lucky they didn't steal your handbag. This is my office.
Thank you.
Now, let's have a look. When did you say this parcel was sent?
Well, Friday morning, apparently.
From Caen. Now, that's Dorset.
Yes.
So it won't have got here till Monday at the earliest.
Does that mean that I'm too late?
Oh, good Lord, no. We won't get round to dealing with that for another month, I shouldn't think. If then... Caen. Now, do you teach there?
No. My sister's husband does.
I've got a young cousin down there.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a drip. Oh, here we are, Caen. One parcel, weight, £27.
That sounds about right. Would it be possible to open it, do you think?
Oh, yes, of course. Mind you, we've got to find the wretched thing first. Another walk, I'm afraid.
Oh, I really am most awfully sorry.
Not to worry. This way.
You see, my sister gave an old woolen dress to the collector, and she seems to think this brooch was still pinned to it. It probably isn't, of course. She's such a dreadful old scatterbrain.
I think schoolmasters' wives often are. Through here.
Lord.
Yes.
I've never seen so many parcels. We'll never find it.
It isn't quite as horrible as it looks. The new arrivals are always nearest the door. Oh, the backlog gets worse every week. We just haven't the staff to cope.
How on earth will you trace my parcel among so many?
Oh, that part's easy. Each school is issued with its own specially numbered labels. See, D6? Well, that's Downside. And E4? That's Eton. Caen should be C4.
There's a C4B over there.
Where?
To your right a little. And up.
Ah, that'll be it. C4B.
What does the B stand for? Well,
the last letter identifies the packer. C4B must be terribly keen, whoever she is. Sends in far more than anyone else. and always beautifully packed into the... Oh.
What's the matter?
Well, I was just about to say how beautifully the C4B stuff was packed. This one's an exception, isn't it? Now, let's see now. A woolen dress, you said?
Grey, I think.
Cardi, sweater. Oh, good quality, too. Mind, you'd expect it from Carl, wouldn't you? Good Lord, what on earth is this meant to be?
It's transparent. Oh, it's a plastic cape.
Yes, but it's absolutely filthy. Well, look at those stains.
Yes. I think you'd better phone the police, Miss Dorney. I'm afraid, I'm very much afraid, that those are bloodstains.
That was part two of A Murder of Quality, the novel by John le Carré, adapted for radio by René Basilico. It starred George Cole as Smiley, with Norman Bowler as Inspector Rigby. Miss Brimley and Mad Janey were played by Sheila Grant, Sergeant Mundy by Robert Brown, Miss Darcy by Diana King, and Miss Dorney by Jenny Lee. Other parts were played by members of the cast. Produced by John Fawcett Wilson.